Hey everyone, welcome to the Snapcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jerry.
And welcome back. It's been 6 months since we've actually been able to sit down and record and talk about Magic. And I can't wait. It's been like too long for me. Tournaments are happening like all over the country now. SCG Con's back up. Nerd Rage Gaming is doing a fantastic job of the Midwest. And even your smaller stores are starting to do their circuits. But before we get into those, Jerry, man, how have you been?
I've been good, bro. I've been playing in the NRG series. I'm in the top 25%, so I feel good about that.
Nice.
But even those tournament appearances, man, playing Burn was rough. That was a rough go. Love the deck, but it was just not where I wanted to be. Just getting canned by Azorius control player playing three copies of Gideon of the Trials in your sideboard. Like, okay, bro, you got me. Beat me. Ain't nobody beating you. He decided today is the day I don't lose to Burn, and he did just that.
He's like, I did not come here to make friends.
No. Little did he know, his matchup against me was already great.
Nice.
But besides that, non-Magic related, I picked up World of Warcraft again.
Oh, there you go.
Joined a raiding guild, so having good times with that, talking to people and such.
Nice.
One guy from Alaska, one guy from Michigan, one guy from Texas, and a nice lady from Minnesota, or Minnesota, she calls it.
There you go, Minnesota.
Minnesota, gotta get the Canucks.
Exactly.
But yeah, other than that, one of the things I'm excited to talk to you about is like Standard. Like, I can't believe I'm excited to talk about Standard. For the first time in 5 years, Standard is exciting.
Oh, that is actually very exciting. I can't wait. As for me, it's been a whole bunch of deployments for me recently. So in late January, early February, we finally got good old Montana out to sea for sea trials. Everything went well with that. And then we came back, had a small maintenance period, and then went back out to sea to get ready for a major inspection. And for any of my nuclear train listeners out there, yes, Ors. And sadly, we couldn't do it out to sea. We just had too many material issues develop. But things didn't go completely as planned. Pulled in, did our inspection, did well. And was able to just continue on with getting ready for our next deployment. And who knows when that's going to be. So hopefully, I will be able to get to some Magic events. I did have the ability to get out to Command Fest in Richmond. For anybody that was there, I hope you had a blast. I tried getting there, walking around with the Snapcast gear just to let people know, hey, we're still around, we're still doing things. And good buddy of ours, Jeff, he came out too, and just a fantastic time with that as well. Yeah, no, it was absolutely a great time. Hoping here to be able to get out, like I said, to Maryland up at Level Up Games. For those here in the East Coast area, they've started doing a lot of their major events again. They've got a Modern 2K coming up. They've got some team events coming up. Pioneer, definitely get out there and check it out.
Yeah, I'm certainly interested. Maybe sooner or later, a Pittsburgh event will fire, and that's like the halfway point between us. So, that's where we all need to get together and do this again.
Oh,
get the whole team together.
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely a goal, is to get there. Or even I know Columbus has an event coming up here for, I think, SCG Con in September. I don't know what my schedule looks like for that first week in September, but if I'm able to get out there, you better believe I'm going to be there. No details yet on what that event is. They do have Syracuse coming up here at the beginning of July. Looks to be a modern 30K event, which I'm okay with. If they did monthly, which it looks like they're doing monthly SCG Cons, to start to ramp back up into their open series, that'd be perfect. But, I'll take the month-to-month for now.
Better than nothing.
Exactly, yeah. What about NRG? How are they doing so far?
NRG is in full swing. They've been doing their tournament series since the beginning of the year. February, March, April, and May, they all had a big weekend event and a small trial event somewhere else relevant to that area of the country.
Okay.
I played in all of the bigger events. I did not play in any of the small events except for the one in Chicago. The formats vary between modern and for the first part of the year, it was all just modern and legacy, or a team event, which was for the first time ever, It was Modern, Legacy, and a sealed player, which that was an interesting take. You know, we had to sit there and actually build the sealed deck as a team for our one player, and then the other two of us had to play our respective formats. The one team event I did, man, that was sad. I went, you know, it was like, had this been a singles event, I would have been going into the first seed of a top eight. I was that perfect with Sneak and Show, absolutely dominating the Is It Delver players and the high amount of Death and Taxes players, because the deck is still something people can afford in the format, in spite of it being, you know, over $1,000 now and playing 80 cards.
Yeah, that's that definitely a unique take on the team event, having that sealed seed in there.
Yeah, it definitely, we all needed to be somewhat familiar, and at the time it was the Crimson Vow sealed.
Oh, okay. So this was a little bit ago then.
Yeah, this was a couple months ago now. And, yeah, we gotta say our sealed player, man, I couldn't keep up with him. He made so many Buffalo plays because he had a high value deck utilizing. He was in Bant Spirits with the Disturb mechanic, so he had the ability to keep buying back his cards, and he just kept. He kept missing his value plays, and it cost him.
Oh, man.
It's like, I can't be there for him and our blue-white control player who can't seem to get out of not drawing every round.
Ooh, yeah, but definitely want to get out of that hole.
I ended up having a conversation with him, and I told him the next time we play an event together, you're not playing blue-white control. I won't do it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's, like, pretty good at it, and... you know, was really comfortable with it. But when it comes to your team events, those draws can be just a huge, like, swing for your team overall.
He's not winning. He's drawing three or four times an event. Like, at this point, he's not good with the deck because he tanks too much.
Gotcha.
There are some plays that are just really obvious, and you're tanking there just makes it, you're killing time. And time is a real huge factor in tournament play. So.
Yep.
Didn't mean to go on that tangent, but that's what kind of happened in that event.
Oh, no. I mean, it's good for our listeners going into team events and that, how to strategize building your team and that. And sometimes, yes, you may feel control is good and, you know, you might be a confident control player, but you might have to step back or listen to the criticism from your teammates of, hey, this might not be the event for you to play control. Maybe there's a different deck that you're good with that you can pilot instead.
Right. But other than playing Sneak and Show in the team event, I've played exclusively Burn in the modern events.
How's that been doing for you? I mean, Burn's almost always like a really solid deck to run. Like, it might not be the greatest one in the room, but it seems to be like consistently good, if you will.
For some dumb reason, I keep catching the player who's just playing a random card that sees no play that just hates Burn out of the room. Like, for example, the one Azorius, I played against an Azorius player who just happened to be playing three copies of Gideon of the Trials on his sideboard.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking at this and, like, first off, Azorius just isn't a good matchup like it used to be 5 years ago. 5 years ago, it used to be a free win. Now it's almost impossible to win pre-board. So tells you how much that matchup's changed over time. So now I'm staring down this Gideon of the Trials. I'm like, so this dude absolutely has the burn number. But then as I watch his results, he loses to everyone else. I'm like, that was one of the worst losses I'd ever felt. I'm like, I'm losing to a guy whose deck construction is going to punish him through the remainder of the tournament. And sure enough, it did. He didn't win a single match after me.
Yeah, that could probably just be like a local metagame thing. And maybe some of the burn players were more experienced against him and they were able to play around it. So he's like, I need to dedicate three more slots in the side for this matchup.
Well, there is no playing around it. Getting in the Trials is a slam dunk. Like, you're not against that deck in that pile of cards, you're not beating Gideon in the Trials.
Well, maybe that's why he brought in Gideon in the Trials, though, is because his main deck, he wasn't good enough against the burn matchup, so he needed something even more powerful to solidify that without realizing, or possibly, you know, just maybe getting a little bit better with going against other burn opponents.
I guess if that's how you feel about it, you know, if that's how they feel about it, I'm not going to change their feelings.
Yeah. Like, I'm just trying to argue, like, why make an already good matchup, like probably what, 70-80% win rate to that 95-100% win rate?
It's a 60-40 their favor.
Yeah. Like, is it something had to have happened at their local shop where they were like, I need more hate for Burn?
He got me. I mean, he certainly did. And then I would go into that remainder of that tournament running into Risen Reef Omnath, which is the worst creature deck for me. And I hit that twice. And I was like, okay, we're dead.
Nice. Hey, so what's the next NRG series coming up?
The next NRG series is Chicagoland Modern, July 30th, and Legacy on the 31st.
Oh, nice.
And then they got the next few ones up. They got a St. Louis series team event, Pioneer Modern Legacy, on August 27th. And then the 28th is just a modern trial. And then in Minneapolis, on September 24th, they have a modern trial. And then Sunday, they have a Pioneer trial.
Oh, awesome. So, yeah, if you're out in the Midwest and you want to get some really good competitive Magic and some good coverage, too, because let's face it, there's not a lot of good coverage out there, and NRG is doing a slam dunk job, I think, yes, with providing that coverage.
On top of that, since NRG is the only series that has coverage and is featuring Pioneer as a format, this is where you're going to get a lot of your video content for Pioneer. And remember, the first Pro Tour coming back is Pioneer. So you can't ignore Pioneer forever now. Like, so many people are like, oh, who plays Pioneer? Who plays Pioneer? Well, I don't know about you, but when half your big events coming up are going to be Pioneer within the next year, especially your Wizards of the Coast regionals, those are going to be Pioneer. You got to learn the format. You got to pick up a deck and play it if you want any shot at just playing at a Pro Tour in your life.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's, I mean, Pioneer was doing pretty good pre-COVID. It was getting a lot of play. A lot of people were really enjoying it. It was the new format at the time. And then COVID came and completely stalled it because it wasn't being played much on Magic Online, because, you know, you just had access to Modern, Legacy, Vintage, and the cubes that Magic Online continuously has to offer.
Right. And the paper play was at an all-time high still.
Yep. And then you had Arena, but Arena obviously didn't have that either. They just had their standard, and I think at the time also Historic was starting to make waves. But, like, nobody paid any attention to Pioneer. Pioneer was largely ignored and needed help with, I think, a couple of bannings.
Certainly, in the previous current state of Pioneer, yeah, those bannings were good. I think they were fine. They were definitely warranted.
Like, it sucks.
You want to just talk about those bannings right now?
Yeah, sure. Let's go ahead and get talking on the bannings.
Sure. So, for those who don't live under a rock, the two cards that were banned were Winota, Joiner of Forces, and Expressive Iteration in Pioneer. Winota created game states that were just super fast and unwinnable, and could also just have the plan B of just playing out the threats that it was trying to bring back, or rather bring out from the deck. Specifically, Tovalar's Huntmaster, which is basically the New Age Grave Titan. 6 mana for a 6/6, make 2 bodies in green. And it happened to be a human werewolf, so it would trigger, it would be the back half of the Winota trigger. You get this big idiot on the battlefield. The final iteration of the deck came off of Brutal Cathar, which is like a super fiend hunter, and was playing Reflector Mage, which, for people who know, Reflector Mage was banned in Standard and was a modern staple for a long time before Rended 6. So obviously there was a power level issue here where Winota was running away with half the games it was playing. And in the other half, it was playing this ultra grindy game that no one could just beat them in the value train. And with Expressive Iteration, that was banned because 2 mana draw 2 is too good.
Yeah.
No other way to really put it. Even though this is the most conditional draw 2 spell ever printed for 2 mana, like, it has 100 conditions. Like, if you play this on turn 2, 99% of the time, you're only getting one card in 95% of your decks. The 5% that do are the Izzet decks that play Mishra's Bauble in older formats. You sometimes don't even get the land you're looking for off of it to play the second card. And usually the card you're looking for anyways off of it is a land. So it helps you get to that weird rampant growthy effect that it has. But it doesn't actually draw you just straight 2 cards that just do things. So super, like, super limited in what it can do. But obviously too powerful. It's still just 2 mana draw 2, no matter how you look at it.
Yeah, and like, cards like that do need to be just controlled. And I know a lot of people are like, well, why didn't they test for it? This is an age-old problem, right? Whenever they come out with new cards, it's never tested in any kind of Eternal format. There's just too many cards, too many possibilities. And let's face it, there's too many of us out there to test it for them and realize, oh, this is broken. We should probably just ban it.
Yeah. And it, you know, and this has actually been a recent phenomenon the last two releases, Kamigawa and New Capenna. There's a lot of cards in these sets that just do ridiculous things with older cards. And some of these you just wouldn't even think of.
Yeah.
Like the one card that's on the watch list now for Pioneer is Grease Fang. Is that it also has similar play patterns to Winota in that it just, if you have a Grease Fang on the battlefield on turn three with a Parhelion 2 in your graveyard, you just get this free artifact, slap for 8, and get two angels out of it that are tapped and attacking. Like, that's an unfavorable game state. The only reason it's safer is because it is it's a graveyard interaction.
Gotcha. And, I mean, let's face it, utilize all zones that you have to play with, right? Yes. It's one thing that I like about graveyard decks. I know it's one thing you really enjoy about graveyard decks is it's more than just linear. What do you draw? What do you have in your library? No, that graveyard is absolutely a very viable zone to be playing out of. And Grease Fang, when I read it, I was astounded by the card. It's like, oh, I can
and
see.
Grease Fang isn't the only card that you need to watch out for, because like the one thing that's misleading on all these aggregate sites that collect deck data is they have the Izzet deck split up into three archetypes, where it's really just these decks are playing 45 to 50 of the same cards in the main deck, but then there are 10 cards that change what the function of the deck does. And I'm talking, you have Izzet Phoenix, you have Izzet Control, and you have Izzet Aggro. But they're all playing, like, Consider, Lightning Axe, Copy of Sweltering Suns, stuff like that. They're all playing Treasure Cruise, which I think is also a big offender on the list. But for some reason, Wizards of the Coast has said that this is how we want Delve to work. But it's the best card. But it's the best deck in the format once again. Like, you ban Winota, and now the format was kind of, you know, Winota had unfavorable play patterns, but at least it had competition with Mono Red and Izzet decks. Now the Izzet decks just have Treasure Cruise, and they're just going to go all in on that. Now the Expressive Iteration's out.
Yeah.
So I think that going into the state of Pioneer right now, the best deck to play is whatever Izzet pile you want to play or a mono red deck. Nothing really changes. They basically just took out the best. They took out the Winota from the Naya deck.
Okay. Well, if we're going to go on this whole states of, I've been doing a little bit of looking here into the state of Modern, and I enjoy where Modern's sitting right now. It's kind of all over the place. Various four-color Omnath decks and, like, Yorion 80-card piles. And one that you pointed out to me has a very awesome feel to it, just looking on paper. And that being the one that has Vivian of the Hunt, or Vivian on the Hunt. And it's essentially a pod deck.
Yeah. So, for those who don't know, the way the combo works is Vivian on the Hunt from New Capenna has a +2 ability that is just the birthing pod effect. Find a creature with one mana bigger, put it on the battlefield after you sacrifice something of the another cost. So you'll sacrifice any 3-drop. Ideally, it's Planebound Accomplice because you can use its ability to just cheat out Vivian on the Hunt for 1 mana. So if you have 4 mana available, you can go 3 mana Planebound Accomplice, tap red, Vivian on the Hunt, begin your combo. +2, you sacrifice the Planebound Accomplice to get Felidar Guardian, which is a cat beast, 1/4 for 4 that bounces a permanent and enters the battlefield again. So what you're going to do is you're going to bring it back. It can use its Planeswalker ability again. You're going to +2 it, sacrifice the Guardian to find Karmic Guide, which can reanimate a creature in the graveyard, reanimate Felidar Guardian. You're going to blink the Vivian again. You're going to use Vivian's ability to sack the Guardian to find Kiki Jiki Mirror Breaker. You're going to use Mirror Breaker to copy Karmic Guide, get a new copy of Karmic Guide, brings back the Felidar Guardian, blink the Kiki Jiki Mirror Breaker, and you have Kiki Jiki, Felidar Guardian, Infinite Cast with Haste on turn 3.
Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah. And in most cases, the deck is actually just doing it fairly. Like, the best version of the deck I saw just had one copy of Planebound Accomplice because that card is actually just bad unless you're winning the game.
Yeah, and I know we've done some jank decks of Planebound Accomplice, like getting Curio Cloudstones going, getting and just, like, cycling through Planeswalkers. using it to get Luka out, and then bounce, and then Luka doing its pot effect with your plane bound accomplice. You either find Copycat or you find Emrakul. If you find Copycat, you blink Luka, and then you do the same thing to Copycat, and you find Emrakul, and it's just a whole bunch of shenanigans.
Yep, and this is why Pod can never be unbanned, guys. So there you go.
Yep,
that one. You know, combos like this just exist in these Pod chains all over the place. The one thing that the saving grace for this not being on the ban list is Vivian costs 6, and in order to do the thing, you have to somehow play a 2-2 for 3 that does nothing except to cheese a planeswalker out.
Yeah.
And if you don't have it in your hand, then it's a 2-2 for 3 that's doing nothing.
Yeah.
It would be better served as Magus of the Moon in your 4-color pile.
No, but it absolutely has its fun. But what's even more fun, I think, is in a way the ad nauseum players kind of got a dark ritual.
Yeah. An offer you can't refuse from Streets of New Capenna. 1 blue mana instant counter target non-creature spell. Its controller generates 2 treasure tokens. So it has the ability to... What you're doing is when you draw your whole deck with the ad nauseum combo, if you have one more mana available, you'll cast like whatever your favorite pact is. It can be any one of them except Pact of Negation. So the first one you'll cast is like, we'll say Pact of the Titan. Hold priority, cast Pact of Negation, hold priority. You're going to use your blue mana to cast an offer you can't refuse. You're going to counter your Pact of Negation to make 2 treasure tokens. And then you're going to use one of those treasure tokens to cast another copy of it. And you're going to counter the Pact of the Titan, Summoner's Pact, whatever you casted, to make 2 more treasure tokens. You'll have 3 available, Lightning Storm in hand, lol, game.
Yeah. Again.
Not quite Simeon Spirit Guide, but we're getting there.
No, I was going to say, it's not even an okay like substitute. It's just what we got.
Yeah, it's what you got. You know, if you want to play Lightning Storm, this is how you have to do it. One person top-8ed an online challenge with Lightning Storm. And one person was using an offer you can't refuse as a singleton copy in their deck. And they weren't playing Lightning Storm at all. They had the option to win at 7 mana with Ad Nauseam Angel's Grace on their main phase. Because if you just cast Pact of the Titan and then use your 1 copy of an offer, you get 2 treasures that can cast Thassa's Oracle.
Yeah.
So that's probably the better version of the deck because it plays the least amount of dead cards. Kind of the key theme here with combos. Your combo deck is really good when all of your cards are playable, when they're not doing the combo thing.
Yeah, I see it right here. Okay, so the one I'm looking at is the 1 of copy of an offer you can't refuse, and it has the 4,000 Oracles in it.
Yep, just Turbo Oracle dot deck. And then they have a way of doing it with Ad Nauseam Angel's Grace rather than triple combo, where you have to have Oracle Spoils Grace or Grace Spoils Spoils.
Gotcha.
So I might be buying back into the deck. I don't know, but I'll never foil it out again.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, been there, done that. You're on to the next one.
Yeah. Foil burn it is. They haven't touched my deck yet.
Well, speaking of foiling decks, we'll go ahead on a little personal tangent here. I'm actually working on foiling a deck right now.
Ooh.
Yeah, I am. Crabvine. For those that remember, back 2 years ago, I was doing really good with Crabvine. Me and 2 others were actually 3. We were the 3 people that top 32'd 2 events. I believe it was Indy and Houston was going on at that time, or Indy and Dallas.
Yep.
And we had 3 decks across the 2 events that got in the top 32. It's given me some of my best consistent finishes overall. Still has a lot of power. Otherworldly Gaze has been fantastic in the deck. That's been the latest addition for it, other than maybe like a sideboard card here or there.
Deck is powerful. Endurance is dumb. We know.
Yep. But yeah, so I'm working on foiling that out, and I'm doing the original foils for it. So it's going to be a challenge. I picked up 3 Ravnica City of Guilds Overgrown Tombs while I was at Command Fest. That was a hefty price.
Are you trying to get OG Onslaught Polluted Deltas?
I've already seen the price, and I think for the time being, I'm going to go judge promos first and slowly work my way at the $1,700 to $2,000 a copy polluted deltas.
And those judge promos hurt too. Like, that's not a small price.
No, but like comparatively, like I can get the judge promos for, I've seen on TCG Player, like $300 to $350 for LP. Whereas, yeah, the Onslaught ones, yeah, I'm looking at $2,000 a pop.
You know, I'm cool with extended arting my Living End deck. I'm cool with that now.
Like, yeah.
That's as cool as I'm getting anymore.
Nice.
Extended arts.
But I figured this will probably be the last deck I fully foil out. It's still a lot of fun to play. I did some reps against some of the other modern decks. I built them out and took them to the sub. Played against a guy. It still has a lot of power in it. Turns out, glimpse the unthinkable on yourself. Being able to hit like two Creeping Trolls, an Archmeba, two Prized Amalgams, and getting a couple Vengevines in the yard can still close a game on turn three.
I mean, at this point, you should just foil out mill while you're at it. You've already got half the mill cards, right? The lands, the glimpses, and half the crabs.
Yeah, Archive Trap is definitely going to be one that's going to be a little painful as well. But no, I'm excited, man. I can't wait to get back into the swing of things, try to get traveling and that. And probably one of the better things I like about the traveling aspect is we get to promote our new sponsor. So in the past 6 months, the Snapcast has picked up a new sponsor finally. That is Deep Dive Games out of Kingsland, Georgia. It's a new store owned by a group of fantastic military veterans. I had the privilege of serving with two of them on board the Maryland. They do a fantastic job running the store. The first year was outstanding, even with COVID restrictions in place. They still crushed it with sales and events and things like that. And they're looking at expanding their play area some and trying to get more smaller events going on to include some regional qualifiers. So if you're down in the southeast portion, Jacksonville area, Savannah, definitely check out Deep Dive Games in Kingsland, Georgia. They have fantastic stock, fantastic staff, and they support us, the Snapcast. So definitely give them a look.
So, anything else you're interested on speaking about in any format of Magic? You know what? I mentioned Standard. You want me to go over this one real quick?
You know what? Yeah, you said you were excited to talk about Standard. I want to hear about Standard.
Okay. In Standard right now, you can do the following things. You can play Storm. You can play Tribal. You can play Midrange. You can play Control. You can play Enchantress. And you can play Mill. And be well-positioned, well-seated in any room you go into.
Wait, so you're saying it's diverse?
Very.
And, like, almost every major archetype has a seat at the table?
Basically, yes. Some fall out for others, some fall back in. But they wax and wane over time. Like, a month ago, I would have told you that Naya Enchantments was the best deck bar none, and now we've waxed into Jeskai Hinata. Are you familiar with that by any of these decks, by the way? I should ask that.
I am not. I just opened up Jeskai Hinata on MTG Goldfish.
Okay, so Jeskai Hinata is using the interaction of Hinata, the what's the full name of the card?
Hinata Dawncrowned.
Okay, Hinata Dawncrowned and Magma Opus. Because you're targeting a bunch of things with Magma Opus, you can make it cost 2 mana. And if you have a Goldspan Dragon, you're just going to generate a treasure token that generates 2 mana. So it's actually free.
Well then.
So it plays like a mini Splinter Twin deck, if you will, where there are instances where you can cast 3 copies of Magma Opus and just end a game.
Huh.
Like, that could happen. The Naya Enchantments deck, this would interest you, because I ended up posting about this when Kamigawa was dropping, and I just wanted to see people's reaction to it. Like, is this a thing? Is this a thing? And my opinion was, I think this is a thing, because this is turn 2, turn 3, let's go. Similar to a Splinter Twin-like interaction. It involves the card Jukai Naturalist from the new Kamigawa set. It's 1 and a green for a 2-2. Makes your enchantment spells cost 1 less, and it has lifelink. The other card that is involved in this is Runeforged Champion from Kaldheim. It's a 2 and a white for, I think it's a 3-2. But let's... 2-3.
Yep, 2 and a white for a 2-3.
Okay, when it enters the battlefield, search your library for a rune card and put it into your hand. Your runes now only cost 1 generic mana to play. So with both of those on the battlefield, the rune that you just found is free. All of the runes draw a card. So you're going to turbo through, play four or five runes, making your enchantment-themed creatures super strong. Yeah, that's a Boggles deck in Standard. And I would have told you it was the best deck a month ago. Currently, right now, the best deck in Standard is actually a tribal deck, Grixis Vampires. It's a value mid-range deck utilizing Blood Tithe Harvester and Tenacious Underdog's ability to sacrifice themselves, make blood tokens, buy back themselves. Just a big value vampire deck. Absolutely fun. Good stuff. Features one of the most powerful cards printed in years, Fable the Mirror Breaker. I can't believe what Standard has become. The Storm deck. Like, it's a... It's using the different copies of the 4-mana instants that generate treasure tokens and discard 2, draw 2 card effects. And there's like 2 or 3 copies of those cards right now in Standard for some stupid reason. And it uses Goldspan Dragon to generate more treasure tokens. And these treasure tokens generate double mana. And you keep playing all these draw card effects and these target effects on the Goldspan Dragon. Unbelievable how fun Standard is right now.
That's awesome.
And if you want to be fair, you can. You can play Mono White Aggro. That's still a good deck from last Standard. Like, you can still just play Thalia, Guardian of Thraven, shut off half these decks. You can play Esper mid-range deck using Rafine, Scheming Seer's Connive ability alongside the new Bird Lawyer himself. Being able to churn through cards in your deck, create value. People love that stuff.
Yeah, this is pretty cool.
It's absolutely phenomenal. The Is It Mill deck is what I've been playing, actually. It only plays 8 copies of cards that actually mill. Or some of them play Maddening Cacophony. I wasn't playing that. But Tasha's Hideous Laughter and Rune Crab are the big cards. And what you're actually doing is using Galvanic Iteration to copy your Tasha's Hideous Laughter as many times as you can. The most I did it for was 4 times. So they had to mill and show 80 converted mana cost worth of cards. Now the way it works is no matter what when they mill these cards, sometimes they go over 20 on the first one. It doesn't go over and spill over into the next one. They have to mill a fresh 20 after that. So sometimes you hit over 100 mana in cards and you just win the game. So that's a big old wombo combo there. That's what I've been playing in Standard right now. In paper. It was cheap.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm looking at some of these decks. I mean, you got $210 for the Is It Mill. Looking at Is It Control, it's like $186. Looking at Naya Enchantments, $204. So, like, back to very reasonable Standard prices, I would say.
Yes.
For the format, which is fantastic. Like, that's what you need. You need Standard to be in that sub-400. You might have one or two decks that are a little bit higher than... But that's where you need Standard. Looking at Pioneer decks, same thing. We're in like low twos to like low fives. I think that's perfect. Because again, you get into a little bit more legacy cards. Like, not actual legacy, but you know, you get into the that little bit of an eternal format card. So scarcer, a little bit higher value. Definitely bleed over into Modern. And then Modern, of course, it just gets crazy here with cheapest deck being Burn at $500 and Affinity also at $500, going all the way up to nearly $2,000 for like Yorion Blink and Jund. But that's generally what happens though when you run into a format that has fetch lands, that, you know, has the Modern Horizons money pit, if you will. But no, it's I really like where I'm seeing it, and I'm very eager to get back into it on paper.
It's worth it. It's been worth it for me. I've been able to rake in store credit. The current deck I'm working on is Selesnya Angels for Pioneer. This deck is dumb. It's a angel tribal deck that also has Book of Exalted Deeds comboing with Mutavault to give yourself a land-based Platinum Angel effect.
Nice.
So, yeah. Pioneer, good format. All in all, right now, watch out for a couple cards. I don't trust Grease Fang. I definitely don't trust Treasure Cruise, and I don't even trust Book of Exalted Deeds. They create game states that Wizards clearly does not want.
Yeah,
Standard is the best format to play right now on paper. You can play anything you want, and you'll probably succeed to some degree if you know your deck. Modern right now is an amalgamation of four of the most powerful cards. They create a weird balance in the format. You have to be playing some combination of these. They are Urza Saga, Ragavan Nimble Pilferer, Violent Outburst, and Teferi Time Raveler. You got to be playing some mishmash of these cards. If you're not, you're probably losing a lot more games than you're winning.
Gotcha.
And Legacy, we didn't talk too much about it because Legacy still faces the same problem of Daze Brainstorm, Force of Will, Delver's Secrets, Lightning Bolt pile is the absolute best thing you can do in that format.
Yeah, I just pulled up Legacy, and Izzet Delver is 25% of the meta.
I don't think I did this with you yet, but here's a thought exercise for you. I'm going to name some cards for you, and you tell me what they have in common, besides the obvious that they're all banned.
Okay.
Deathrite Shaman, Jataxian Probe, Oko Thief of Crowns, Renin 6, Dreadhorde Arcanist, Ragavan Nimble Pilferer. I'll help you. They are all payoffs for the Delver Shell. And they've all been banned in a 10-year span. So it's no longer just the individual payoff being too good. It's the stupid shell. Ban something out of it.
Yeah.
And I think the answer to make everyone happy is Daze. To be more realistic, it's Brainstorm. But they're not going to touch Brainstorm, so ban the Daze.
Gotcha, yeah.
Make Noble Hierarch playable again. Like, it's already an issue with the Lightning Bolt. Like, do they really need a free counterspell with it? Come on, guys. Like,
right.
Make Magic playable again. Because, you know, Daze is banned in Pauper for a reason. And, yeah, that's basically your summation of your formats.
Nice. One last thing I want to touch here before we sign off for this episode. So I'm looking at SCG Con coming up here in Syracuse, and I'm looking at the format structure. And the only thing I can think of is, why didn't we do this sooner? They have downsized the main event to 13 rounds. And instead of a cut to top 8, it's a cut to top 12 with the first through fourth seat getting a first round bye.
Hey, that's a solid idea.
Right? Like
That's a new innovation. That's almost as good as adding limited to your constructed tournament.
Yeah, like, only 8 rounds day one. That's awesome, because we knew, like, with 9 rounds, it was almost a 12, 13-hour day sometimes. Now, with 8 rounds, same thing, 18 points or more, so 6-2 or better, you make day two.
Okay.
And then 5 rounds of Swiss on day two, not 6, and you also get the top 12 players. So that top 8 cut sometimes can be very close. Granted, I mean, it's still going to happen at 12 and 13, but you still get to reward those other, you know, like 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th place players who did outstanding on day two
it on day one.
Yeah. Like to still, you know, cash out into the top. And not only that, but they're also paying all the way down to 12th place $1,000 in these events.
Yeah, people have been complaining.
Yeah.
About these prizes. Like, and imagine the year that, you know, the year that we all went to SCG Con in Cincinnati. And that was when Abe and I finished 9th and 10th respectively.
Yeah.
Like, we would have been in that top 8, and I would have, and the guy who won the whole thing, I crushed him round 1.
I mean, like, it would have been fantastic. Minimum prize is $250 for the 32nd. I think that's a perfect cutoff. That's really good prize payout too, especially when you're looking at $80 entry now into these events. That's a little high.
Well, they're paying out good at this point. Yeah. Hey, you know what? If you want to talk about crazy entries, just look at Pro Bowler Association, look at golf, look at poker.
That is true.
$80 ain't jack.
Like, yeah.
You know, competitive Magic should have a cost to it. I've held to that standard, and this is one of them.
They pretty much brought back Classics, but they call them Modern and Legacy 5Ks. Only paying out cash in top 8. And then prize wall tickets for everybody else who are non-top 8 finishers, which I think is perfect.
And those used to be just prize tickets for everybody.
Yeah, like, something good is happening. Now we can just bring back coverage with a good coverage team.
With a good group of people who aren't just mean to everybody for the sake of being mean.
Right, and who also mesh well and can kill dead time on camera. Like, we used to have some awesome pairs on stream. And I know they've all gone on to bigger and better things. But let's,
or the other way around.
Yeah, or sadly the other way around. Don't want to get into that, but yeah, like something. I mean, come on, the people want coverage. Give us coverage. You fixed the prize thing. The Chuck E. Cheese tickets are only for those who don't top eight, which I think is perfect. And oh, for the, okay, so the open is just cash, but still, like, or sorry, the 30K is just cash. It's an open. Let's be real here. This is outstanding. I like this a lot.
Yep. I'm excited. You know, I've been excited for paper since the beginning of the year, and it's only getting better for us.
Yep. Now let's just keep this trend going. Everyone keep getting out, playing Magic, all that good stuff. And just when you're at an event, keep it about Magic. That's all I'm going to say about that, Jerry. I'm sure you know what I'm hitting at.
Oh, but yeah. Got you.
Nobody cares about anything else other than the fact that we're there to play Magic.
My final question for you, Rob.
Yes.
What are you playing in all the formats?
Oof. Okay.
What are you doing?
All right. So I got to pull this up here. I think Modern, obviously, I got to go Crabvine. If I'm going to play Legacy, I have to go back to my old Legacy deck. I have to go Sneak and Show on that one. If I'm going to go Pioneer, I would probably do Mono Green Ramp. I really like big stompy things. If I can ramp and play large items and large creatures, let's do it. I really like the look of Mono Green right now. Cavalier of Thorns, I've always been a big fan of. Pelucranus World Eater, me and Bay go back so far. Good old Pelucranus. Glad to see it as one of in this list at least. So I think that's what I have to do in Pioneer. If I were to play Standard now, Nia Enchantment seems fun, but I'll probably maybe see what's going on with this Jeskai Hinata, because that also just seems like an absolute blast as well.
And it's absolutely ridiculous. Like, yeah. It's a good deck.
Like, I think that's what I would do. What about you? Well, what are you doing in the four?
Well, Standard, I'm on Is It Mill.
Okay.
I'm not coming off that. Big time, I like it with less of the mill cards, like with the exception of Crab, because it just incidentally wins games and can block some lower powered creatures in the white deck. And using your Galvanic Iteration to copy your Tasha's as your main win condition. So I don't play Maddening Cacophony. It's the blue-red control deck with the super twin out, if you will. In Pioneer, I'm mono-red. I'm stuck on, like, I'm in the best deck, what I think is the best deck in the format camp in a lot of these. Mono-red is one of them. Chandra, Dress to Kill, is the most powerful freaking card since Oko in the 3-drop Planeswalkers. Like, this card is, it generates wild amounts of card advantage for mono red decks. So just wait until you actually play against it and you're going to be like, oh, I'm just going to lose this game because this card just drew 4 or 5 cards on its own. In modern, I'm playing something in that dichotomy of best archetypes. I'm playing a Violent Outburst deck. I'm on Living End through and through. 2 copies of Odawara, no copies of Besiju. That's where I'm at with that's where I'm at there. I'm pretty happy with that. And in Legacy, I'm also back on our group boo Sneak and Show.
Yeah. I like it. I think what I might do is before I buy my foil polluted deltas and that, I think I might buy the last bits I need for Sneak and Show again, which, let's be real, it's Volcanic Islands. So there's still few $1,000, so I got to do some savings for that.
Right. Well, if it's any consolation, whenever I played it, I played a slightly budget version, which played 1 Volcanic Island, 4 Ancient Tombs, and the rest be fetches and islands.
Okay.
And I maxed out on Lotus. I maxed out on Lotus Petal Simian Spirit Guides.
Yeah, I mean, I still have my Lotus Petals. I still got my Sneak Attacks. I still got my Show and Tells. So like those. Portions I still have. Oh, I need Force of Wills. Okay.
To also get out the other part of the cheese, I was also playing 2 main deck Pyroblast because I knew I was going to see at least half the room beat Is It. So I kind of knew that's where I needed to be.
Yeah, and I can get behind that though. And I'd be about it. Just because, yeah, with how big Delver is right now, you're going to need that. Ancient Tombs, I still got beautiful price on Ancient Tomb right now. And then City of Traders, I need to pick up a couple of those. Well, I think that's going to do it for us tonight, Jerry. You got anything else to add?
No, sir. I'm glad to have you back. I'm glad to have the Snapcast back. I'm glad to play Paper Magic again. All in all, it's a happy time.
Absolutely. And for those keeping track, this is episode 163. Stay tuned. We will have episode 164 out later this month. Maybe not weekly, probably just do every 2 weeks. But definitely stick around for that, and we will chat with you later.